Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This is a show I do once a week to talk about some random things I want to talk about and answer questions I've received throughout the week. And we got some good ones. Here's our schedule for today. I'm going to first talk about our sponsor of this week's show, River Hardware. They answer questions. Then talk about Snowpack a little bit. It's really interesting Snowpack stuff happening. And then finally talk about the wind race again, just to kind of hype some people up for it. And just to get started with the sponsor of the show, River Hardware. For those of you that don't know, this is a website that I run to sell a few handful of things. It's actually really fun for me to sell things. I get like a little dopamine when somebody buys something. So just so you know, it makes me happy if you buy something. If you don't, it's fine. But I enjoy this. That's actually a really fun thing that I'm doing right now. I'm adding a few products here and there. I think things that I think are really high quality items. I'm about to get some flip lines from Palm, which are made in Germany, I think. I don't know, in Europe somewhere. We're getting some of those, to some really high quality flip lines to sell on the site here in about a month. And just for those of you that want to order these throw bags, these are the WWTC throw bags. They're made in Hungary. I think these are the best throw bags that exist. I've used all of them. The carry system is awesome. The quality of the rope is amazing. They're durable. This is my go-to throw bag. They're a little bit expensive. A part of the reason is because they're made in Europe and we have to ship them here and there's customs fees and all that. But I'm letting everybody know about these because I'm about to raise the price on these a little bit. And so if you've ever wanted one, this is the cheapest they'll ever be is right now. And so think about going to our website, ordering one of these. I'm about to make another big order. So this next order will be more expensive. So yeah, please let me know if you want one of these, go to the website and order one if you want one. Probably in the next couple of days, I'll have to raise the prices on them a little bit. The other thing is we have merchandise for Northwest Rafting Company. I just had these hats made that I'm pretty jazzed on. And so if you want these hats, I'm wearing one now. This one is not on the website with the orange on the sides. If you want this one, there's only a handful of them. Order the hat and then send me a note. Say, Zach, I want the orange-sided one. Send me an email somehow or contact me saying, I ordered one, but don't send me the one I ordered. Send me the orange one. If you do it quickly, I will send you these if I have them left. So that is the word from our sponsor. Let's get on to questions. And the first one is about playboats. I recently bought a Highside Minimax, and it's been a wild ride. I flipped a few times, been tossed out, surfed, and generally humbled on runs that were pretty smooth in bigger boats. Yeah, that makes sense. I've been running R2 and also have a frame. I find rowing to be super fun. I like a challenge, and I'm okay getting beat down on occasion, but starting to wonder if a capo makes more sense for the harder stuff. I want to be rowing like the Wind, Hood, Ilde, etc. I don't have much experience with cats and want to stay sharp in a raft for trips like the Grand Canyon, Middle Fork, etc. What are your thoughts on these little boats as someone who enjoys rowing challenging whitewater? Yeah, it's like kayaking. In kayaking, we have playboats, and that's where we like go on our day-to-day run, our class 3 run. We flip them. We surf them. We're on edge a lot. They make class 3 harder. It's like stand-up paddleboarding. You know, it just makes class 2 and 3 harder. I think the Minimax is a great boat for a run you know where you're just practicing skills and where you may flip somewhere responsible to flip, not on the hardest thing out there, and you practice your recovery, you practice getting back in your boat. It's a great way to practice skills. So if I live in California and I want to run Giant Gap and Cherry Creek, I'm going to go do the South Fork American in my Minimax, but I'm not going to take the Minimax to Cherry Creek or Giant Gap. You might be able to get down Giant Gap at certain flows with it, but in general, the Minimax is not the right boat for a class 5 run, in my opinion. People do run class 5 in Minimaxes. It's not possible, and people are running them down class 5, but the normal person, you're going to have a hard time in these playboats. It's the same way kayaking. Some people kayak Cherry Creek and play boats. Really good kayakers do. But mortal people are taking creek boats. And so, again, this is a great boat for – the Minimax is a great boat for practicing on easier stuff, for honing your skills. But if you want to do the wind – no, I've never seen anybody row a Minimax down the wind. I've never seen it. Maybe somebody's done it, but I've never seen it, right? I see it on the White Salmon all the time. I see it on the Hood. it's where you practice. And for the wind, you want your capo, you want your 13-foot raft, you want your good boat. So I would recommend capos are sweet if that's what you want to do. The Illinois, the hood, the wind, capos are great for that. Rafts are better for carrying gear and people, but they're also less forgiving than capos. So I would say keep the high set mini max for your class 2-3 practice, but get a good boat for the harder stuff. If your goal is to do Grand Canyon, Middle Fork, and a raft, maybe get a 13-foot raft. You can get a 13-foot raft down the hood. It's a little more challenging on the wind, but yeah, that's my thoughts. Hopefully that helps a little bit. And if anybody else out there in the audience has comments, please throw a comment and say what you think about that, because I could be wrong. Okay, the last question. Dry suit versus semi-dry suit. I saw some semi-dry suits on Craigslist and they seemed okay, but then someone said they're unsafe. I assume neoprene neck and wrist are more permeable than rubber, but is this unsafe for rafting? I'm buying for my wife and teenage daughter for class 2 and 3, so I'm not planning on swimming and planning to recover some fast in the water. I can't afford 2 new dry suits to be used 2 to 3 times a year. So I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you whether a dry suit is safe or unsafe without seeing it. I just can't. What you don't want is it to fill with water, because then you're heavy. It's hard to swim. That's how people drown, I think, a lot. I don't know for sure, but I think a lot, because their dry suit fills with water based on a hole or whatever happens. And there's so much mass, you can't swim anywhere. It's hard to swim, and it's hard to pull you back in the raft because you're so heavy. And so I would say a dry suit that can fill with water is unsafe. It's inherently unsafe. Neoprene, I have a dry suit with a neoprene neck gasket that works great. I think it's neck. For sure the wrists. Neoprene gaskets can work great. I don't think they're permeable. There's neoprene gaskets that don't let water through. There's some neck gaskets that are really loose. Maybe that's a little bit unsafe because water can get in. But the one that I have is pretty tight. It's comfortable for sure. So it's hard to tell you whether a dry suit's safe or unsafe without actually seeing the dry suit and know more about it. I would say a couple thoughts. I would look into wetsuits. I don't know why everybody is stuck on dry suits so much. If you're talking 2 to 3 times a year, wetsuits are fine. They'll just be a little cold. It depends on the temperatures, but it's probably just a comfort thing. Like dry suits are dry, so they're more comfortable, but they're also uncomfortable to wear, like putting them over your head. And if you only wear them once or twice a year, they're awful to wear. And so I would really go into a wetsuit, unless you're planning to raft in the snow or on glacial waters. A wetsuit should be great. A wetsuit with a good fleece, neoprene booties, a good paddle jacket, way more durable. Multiple people other friends can use it. I would go that way. If you're looking for a more affordable dry suit, I just bought a bunch of these from OS Systems. Part of the reason dry suits are so expensive, let's see, they come up. Yeah. Part of the reason that dry suits are so expensive is because they're made of Gore-Tex, which is a very expensive material. Let's see if, there we go. So Gore-Tex is an incredibly expensive material. It's expensive to work with. It needs special care. I bought a bunch of OS Systems dry suits as rentals for some of our trips that aren't, they're just thin. They're not thin fabric. They're thick fabric, but they're not breathable, right? So the advantage of Gore-Tex is if you're paddling a lot and sweating a lot, it'll breathe out the moisture. Well, if you're not like paddling hard and not sweating a ton, and you're not like that active, you're maybe just sitting in a raft, maybe a little bit active, a nylon, just whatever the fabric is, non-breathable dry suit will be fine. And they're cheaper, they're more durable. And OS Systems sells them. I don't know which one I ordered. You might just, you know, they have a bunch of them. They're made here in Oregon. I bet if you call them and said, I want the same dry suit that Zach ordered, I think you'll be happy. And I got the idea. I've always liked OS Systems. It's a great company. But my friend Mark, who guides in Iceland, he uses these for their commercial guests there because that river is really cold. It's cold. The glacier is just like 35, 40 miles upstream and the water comes off of. It's in a deep canyon. It's not that sunny. And so all the guests get a dry suit. but you couldn't give all the guests Gore-Tex dry suits. They'd be too expensive and not durable enough. So in Iceland, they use these OS Systems dry suits, and they were great. I saw them in action. I saw the guests using them. They were great. So if you're just paddling along, you're not like kayaking hardcore or racing like they are in that photo, I don't think you need to get a dry suit. And again, so like if you do get one of these OS Systems ones, I think they're more affordable, they're more durable, or just go wetsuit. So hopefully that answers your question. Again, I don't know if the semi-dry suit is actually semi-dry or what that even means, but yeah. Okay, let's get to some comments here in general. Those are the end of the questions for the day. Let's see. I have a Mustang Moist suit, but still have lots of swim in it, and it's fantastic. They call it comfort closure. Neoprene all around with a unique drawstring on the neck. Not 100% dry, but 100% safe. So I have a couple Mustang suits, Thomas, that have the Mustang one's the one that I have that has the neoprene wrist gaskets. I think it's neoprene neck gaskets too. The neck gasket you're talking about has a drawstring closure you have to close. I don't think that's safe for whitewater because you have to actively close it. So if it's open and you fall out, you'll take water on and you'll have a dry suit full of water. So I would recommend not using that closure for whitewater. I think they sell that for sailing, you know, so you don't fall out as often sailing. It's a different thing. I don't think that's a good solution for whitewater personally. I wouldn't recommend that one. It's not 100% dry, but 100%. Yeah. And I'm not going to call it 100% safe because if you fall in and water gets into the neck, you have water, it's hard to swim. It's hard to get pulled in. I'm going to call it not 100% dry. Not safe. You can convince me otherwise, but I'm pretty confident I'm not going to use that neck closure. Mustang can sell you one with a regular neck closure, like that keeps water out. Okay. Mustang was terrible to work with, but the product is great. They make great products. They're a great company. It's like the Canadian Cocotat, and they make high quality stuff. I love my Mustang dry suit. I think that their customer service isn't great. Yeah. They're not very good at being customer facing. They do a lot of stuff in the Canadian government, governments around the world. I think they're trying to get into recreational retail, but their customer service isn't. Yeah. There's maybe some issues there for sure. Okay. Blair, I have the 23 meter 75 foot hero, which I just got more of those. So they've been sold out for maybe a year. I just got more of those, by the way. It's a great bag, but I'm looking for something shorter and easier to throw accurately. Yeah. Yep. I think that Hero is a great one to put on your thwart. So let's go back. I'm going to open up the website again. I think that one's a great rescue rope to keep on your thwart. It's a little bit much to carry around your waist. It is. You're right. It's a lot of bag to throw. If you need to throw a long throw, you have to be pretty strong to throw it. It's whole strength. It's this one here. And it does, yeah, I don't have a photo of it around the thwart, but instead of putting it on your waist, wrap it around the thwart and a raft, it's your rescue rope. It's only 75 feet, but it's not bad. But man, the perfect complement to this one is the 15 footer. Here's what it looks like, by the way, wrapped around a thwart. This raft's really dirty. This is a raft I had in Bhutan that got moldy. So sorry, the raft's dirty, but this is what it looked like when my throw bag was around the thwart. This is the 15 meter throw bag around the thwart. The 20 meter, 23 meters, even, you know, it's bigger and more useful. But this one is the one I've been wearing, my go-to bag. It's not that noticeable around your waist. Even the 18, 20 meter ones, they're a little bit noticeable. This one's, you know, it's a quick throw to a swimmer, a quick throw to a stuck raft. And if you need the big one, go grab it. So I think, to me, this one's the way to go, Blair. And you'll see me. I wear this one all the time now. Okay. Let's go back to the next questions. Thanks for your thoughts on playboats. We'll let you know how it goes if I row it down the wind. Whew. Do you see my comment on last week's show about leashes above the oar stop? I didn't. Last week's show about leashes above the oar stop. Check my picks in the comments from the video of us water. Let me know what you think. Man, Bryce, I have no idea what you're talking about. Can you just put those comments in today because I'm about to work 5 weeks straight of classes. So I'm not going to have time to go through old comments and things to figure out. So if you want me to respond to something, if you can find it now, put it in the comments now, do it. Otherwise, I'm probably not going to go back and look for comments. Did you see my comments on last week's show about leashes above the overstop? I didn't. I'm not sure what that means. Leashes above the overstop. Sometimes I'm not the smartest guy. I can't figure stuff out sometimes. Check my picks in the comments from the video at Westwater. Yeah, I don't know. We can go look for that video. Let's look for that video. Let's see if we can find your picks in the comments. Oh, yep. Give me a second here. I'm going to try to open that up and then I'll go to the next one. I've had a major swim in OS Systems with neoprene neck seal, stayed bone dry, highly recommend. Yeah, I know that OS Systems does a neoprene seal. And I talked to Paul a couple weeks ago about it. And he says it works great. I'm surprised more people don't go neoprene neck seal. It's super comfortable. It does the trick. I'm such a fan. So yeah, good to hear. I think OS Systems is, especially as an org, if you live in Oregon, Washington, a local company is great. Okay, so I'm gonna open up this Westwater video, Bryson, and see if we can figure out. Here we go. Oh, what's going on here? Let me see if I can get it here. I opened up the wrong one. I'm still learning how to organize all this stuff. So here we go. Share screen. Video review, Westwater Carnage. And I'm going to look through the comments and see if I can find these photos. I don't see any photos. I don't see any photos. So, Bryce, I'm not sure what's going on. Here, if you want to share photos with me, please think about doing it, like upload them to Google Docs, I don't know, something. And comments are best done through here on the Whitewater Guidebook website. That way I see them, I remember them, we categorize them. This form has caused me so much pain and trouble and expense to make it work. It was broken for 4 days this week. If you try to use it and it didn't, I'm sorry. I think I fixed it again. It's been a pain to make this form work. But if you have comments or thoughts or want to share things with me, the best way is through here because it gets set into our system correctly. So, yeah. All right. Next comment. Blair. Yeah, of course. I think you'll enjoy that smaller throw bag. It's comfortable. And that 23 meter is designed for safety cataphters. It's a beefy bag. But it'd be a great thing to wrap, like I said, wrap around the thwart, have around. Maybe they're talking about stretchy leashes to hold oars in the locks. Those are sweet. Those are sweet, Thomas. I don't think that's what they're talking about, but yeah. The Westwater video had a leash hung up on a lock. That happens. It's part of leashes. It's part of the reason why I don't like oar locks that much in harder whitewater because you're tying your oar to your boat. It's like it's uncivilized. It's like teleskiing when you clip your boot to your ski. It's just messy. It's not clean. With pins and clips, your oars are in the clip and there's a little plastic thing around it. Weird things don't happen. You have this with oar locks, or am I saying it right? Spinnies. You have this rope that's a potential hangup and potentially dangerous. And you need it so your oar doesn't just like fall off and float away, but it's not a great solution. And so one of the many reasons why on class 2 and 3, I think spinnies and oar locks are great. It's the way to go. It's how I row. But when I'm going to go do harder rivers, like the Westwater at 10,000, I'm probably going to run pins and clips for a lot of reasons. One of them is that silly leash thing get hung up on things. It's unpredictable leash that gets hung up on things. Just my opinion. I don't want to make anybody too mad. My opinion, but those are my thoughts. Any benefit of oar locks come to mind? Yeah, oar locks are sweet. That you can feather, you can be in touch with Mother Nature, and you can, you know, get into a nice groove and you can feel the power of the river and be, you know, smell butterflies, and they're wonderful. And pins and clips, you're just in there for power. You're like, I want power. I want to flip and reflip and be right back on the oars. I don't want to have dangly oars everywhere. But with oar locks, they're really peaceful. I like the Grand Canyon, the Middle Fork, regular flows, the Rogue. I much prefer oar locks. And I love the feather. I love the feel that I get when I do it, for sure. Yeah. But also, if you give me pins and clips on any of those rivers, I'd be happy. I'd be fine, cool, whatever. It doesn't matter. But if you're going to go put me on Westwater at 10,000, there's no point in – really no point in feathering. I mean, honestly, I want just power. So I'm going to go pins and clips. Most leashes are too long, as short as possible, as long as necessary. Yeah. I mean, don't get me started on over leashes. That's a whole other topic that, yeah, I don't need to get into it. Have you heard of any injuries or worse from over leashes? Maybe I'll offer the stretchy version of some kind. I've heard a lot of, I can't think of any, but I've heard a lot of sketchy stories of people getting caught up in leashes and leashes getting wrapped around overlocks. And it's happened to me. I mean, I haven't been caught in an over leash, but I've had the leash get wrapped up and caught in things. A stretchy version, it's still the same. I mean, it'd be kind of cool. I mean, maybe some kind of bungee version of an over leash might be kind of cool. I don't know. Okay, Bryson, back to this thing. Sorry, don't seem to be able to add photos here, but basically the idea is to attach leash between grip and or stop with a second or stop, get thrown back, leashes go. Bryson, I'm not smart enough to understand what you're saying here. You're going to have to, maybe somebody smarter can explain this better or differently, or I don't know. I'm going to talk about, let's finish or leash talk. They're an unnecessary evil of or rights, or locks, spinnies. You got to have them. Try to make them as safe as you can, but they are inherently dangerous. But they keep your or attached to your boat because you need to tie your or to a boat when you're running or locks. The or snubber is coming to industry 24-25. Sweet. That sounds awesome. I can't wait. It's going to be great. Bryson's talking about the stretchy leash. Maybe not stretchy, but the same idea. Yeah, a stretchy leash might be cool. I have to try it. I don't know. But it could be really cool. Yep. Thanks, Thomas. Okay, let's get out of here. Let's get back to our agenda for the day. Oh, snowpack. So this is, I'm excited to talk about snowpack. So for those of you that don't know, I keep a lot of cool things hidden on this Whitewater Guidebook site. If you go to the middle fork of the salmon page, and you go down to river flow, I have a specifically designed river flow page. And it has the flow, the forecast, another forecast, snow water equivalent, and then the map all in one place. So I used to have to go to the, like, look at all these pages and have them all bookmarked. It was a pain. And I put them all in one place and you can see them all in one spot. And I just want to make the point that snowpack does not go in a straight line. This line, the two green lines are, I think the median and the mean or the average, I don't know. They're about average. That's what we think is going to happen. But snowpack doesn't do this. It's been a terrible snowpack all year. And this week it got above 80%. And I think this is a good reason why I don't like to talk about snowpack until April. Like I'll look at it to make conversation, but it's not going to, like, whatever it's doing now, it's going to look vastly different in April. And this last week is an exact example. We went from having I think it was like 70-ish percent of snowpack to mid-80s percent wise. And we're getting close to normal. And with the storms coming in, we could be normal here real quick. But it could also melt and we could be back to terrible. And so just having faith that whatever's going to happen is going to happen and we're going to deal with it, I think is key. And it's good news for the Middle Fork in particular. And snowpacks across the West have been great because of this past week. So those are my quick thoughts on snowpack that I wanted to share. And let's see. Let's get back to comments. I've always envisioned a clamp on the opposite side of the oar lock, keeps them from sliding out, but a person can still spin the oar. I don't understand that either, but cool. Yeah. Okay. So the last thing I'll talk about is the wind race. The Upper Wind Whitewater Festival is a couple weeks away. It's March 23rd. And I'm stoked. It's one of my favorite festivals. It's usually there's like 15, 20 kayakers, sometimes more, sometimes 40. There's usually like 10 R2 races, and it's a head-to-head R2 race. So everybody starts at the beginning. You get dealt a card, and based on what card you get out of a deck is your starting position. So it's kind of luck where you start. And then it's 10 plus R2s going head-to-head down the Upper Wind. And we used to do a capo race, and it's kind of fallen apart the past 5 or 6 years. It hasn't happened, maybe more than that. And we have enough people to make it happen. So there's definitely a cat race happening. I love competition. I'm a competitive person. I love competitions. I love the wind race. And I want more people to join the cat draft race. I want more competition out there. And I want people to be training. I want everybody's best. So I want to race. I want to win. But I also want to beat everybody at their best. So I'm offering $250 to anybody that can beat me in the cat draft race at the Wind Festival. And I hope you do. Like I want the challenge. So even if you're not going to race, please come check it out. We do races around 11-ish, takes a couple hours, and we go to a bar afterwards and celebrate how awesome we all are. And the next day, people usually go boating. So it's a fun weekend. It's a pretty casual festival, and I'm dying for some racers. So please come on out. That would be sweet. Yeah. I'm not going to loan you a cat, but I'd love you to come out. It'd be sweet. I'm not going to loan cats on a river like that. So, but I want to hype it out because I want good competition. There's, I think, 4 of us total in the cat division. I'd love it to be like 8 because it's head to head. Like it's, you have to battle everybody under that first mile down to initiation to get position. And then whoever's ahead of you, you still have to do some battling. So the more people there are, the harder it is. So I'd be super jazzed to have more people at the WinFest. So everyone, that's it for today's show. Thanks for joining. I don't have any more questions. I don't have any more comments. I appreciate everybody asking questions. And as a reminder, going back to our thing, check out riverhardware.com. We have a lot of cool stuff that we're selling, but I'm about to have to raise the prices on throwbags. So if you want to get a throwback, do that soon. And we'll see you all. Oh, here we go. Float 509. I can't connect you with Float 509, but maybe Float 509 can go to bettermounts.com and contact you. That might be the best way to go, Thomas. And then Jay, I heard Astral's coming out later this year. It was called the Indus. I've heard April 1st, Jay. That's what I've heard. So it's all I know. I've heard it doesn't have the cool green vest pocket, which is disappointing. It has like a vertical zipper pocket, which whatever. But 22.3 pounds in Astral PFD, I am stoked. But the rumor I've heard is April 1st. All right, I think that's it. See you all next Monday. I'm teaching classes on Tuesdays for the next month, so we'll try to do a show next Monday.